stuff. You get some you time afterwards. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, number three. Then you have a husband and he wants your time too, huh? Okay, they are required to take medicine without complaining, which I think is funny. My kids actually like it. It's bad. Oh, can I have some more? No. But I think back then, the medicine didn't taste good. So now they make it taste good. Number four, subdue self with a child. Those working together with God to save the child's soul. Okay, I don't know what that really means. Save the child's soul. Number five, teach the children to pray as soon as they can speak. Titus is 2 years old. He prays over our meals at dinner and breakfast. Give them an opportunity to do it in front of other people. They won't be embarrassed about it later on. Number six, require all to be still during family worship. When my mom read this one, I laughed. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. You should see bedtime. It's like, jump on the bed. Everybody going everywhere. But listen, try as hard as you can to teach them the importance of being together as a family and learning the word of God together, okay? Give them nothing. I love this one. Give them nothing that they cry for and only when they've asked politely, okay? So I know it's annoying when they keep crying, right? That is like the most annoying. Do you feel like, I see my nerves like fraying at the end. Like I see my body like falling apart, like, but listen, don't give it to them. My 2-year-old's now going into the terrible twos and I'm like, seriously, go and throw yourself on the floor. I don't care what you do. Bye. I'm not giving it to you until you ask nicely and until you, so, and it works. It does work. Okay. So don't give them anything they cry for. Number eight. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Yes. Okay. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Because that's showing that they recognize that they were wrong and that they're apologizing. So they don't have to get a spanking for that. Because what will happen will be they'll be nervous that they're going to get spanked or they're going to get disciplined and they'll lie about it. Even though they would have liked to just tell you the truth anyways. Okay. So if they have a repentant heart, go for it. Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Okay? Listen, I can't tell you how many times I'm with parents and the little kids lie right to their parent. Right, I'm standing right there. I'm like, I saw it. They are lying. Liar! Like, because I don't put up with it. Okay? So listen, you need to take that kid in the bathroom at your friend's house and spank their butt for lying. I'm telling you right now, if your friends don't like it, don't hang out with those friends then. Because I'm telling you, the company you keep is what you become and what your kids become. So catch them. Catch them in the act and punish them. 10, never punish a child twice for a single offense. We talked about that. Number 11, commit and reward good behavior. Okay, so I call it bribing. It works very well. So this is what I'm doing. I'm going on an 8-hour trip in a car with 3 little kids. My husband thinks this is going to be fun. I am like, oh, Jesus, please, could I just fly there and meet them there at the end? I do not want to be in the car. So, because, you know, Dan gets to drive and look at all of, and this is going to be it. Look, isn't that beautiful? Isn't the ocean beautiful? What? I'm sorry, I didn't see it because they're fighting back here, throwing something, or they spilled something. Like, that is probably going to be the trip. So this is how I decided to do it. I went to the dollar store. Pastor Eleanor gave me this tip. I went to the dollar store and bought little gifts. And I'm going to wrap them. And I'm going to put them in like certain like increments for each leg of the trip. And guess what? You don't get your present if you're not good. And if you're fighting with each other, you don't get your present. I don't care. It's a dollar. I'll take it back. So, you know, just do those things. Use some bribery. It does work. With my kids, it works every time. So, number 12, any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. That they need to be encouraged, you guys. Just like us, they need to be encouraged. 13, preserve property rights, even in small matters. How many of you fight over the same toy or over the same thing or over the same whatever? Make property rights. So what I do, and Robin and I actually have this problem because our kids play together a lot, but we say, well, they get to play with that for 5 minutes. And then it'll be your turn. And then that seems to work very well. So draw lines so that the kids know what their rules are, where they're supposed to be. Same with teenagers. You know what? My daughter, especially girls, I'm looking at you teenage girls, they like to give away stuff. Oh, let me borrow your shirt. Let me da-da-da-da-da. Listen, that starts fights. Later on down the road, when you don't get your shirt back and it has a hole in it, you're going to be mad. So, and Mama paid for that shirt. Did you ask her if she could give it away? So just make sure that you guys are drawing lines in the sand. What's yours is yours. What's yours is your sister's. So that way there's no fighting, okay? 14, strictly observe all promises, Okay? So when you promise something, you better keep your promise. All right? Keep your promise. 15, require no daughter to work before she can read. Isn't that beautiful? Don't require them to do stuff unless they can read and understand what they're doing. I like that. Now listen, my little boy can't read. He gets to pick up his toys. But if it's something that like required, you know, back then the girls would start cooking right away. They would start taking care of their families right away. So listen, if they can read, give them some more responsibility. See what they can do. Put that in them. Number 16, teach your children the fear of God. Okay? Teach your children the fear of God because the fear of God is what will keep them. All right? There's so many other quotes in here that I just think Susanna Wesley was amazing. So if you guys want those later, I can give those to you. But I want to get to the panel. Okay? So we've talked about discipline. We've talked about praying. We've talked about parenting God's way. Now remember what Pastor Richard brought in with the rod is not the right example. And Pastor Richard, you wouldn't spank Bella and Carter with those, right? Michelle's like, no. Yeah, that's for prisoners, I know. It's like the read. So anyways, but let's just commit to parenting God's way and not the way the world says, guys. Okay, find out what God says about it. Listen, our kids are facing things that we never faced. Our kids are facing stuff that is coming at them so fast that you need to pay attention. You can't be in your own world, mama. You need to be in their world right now. That's your job. I know that's why God took me out of work, because every day I'm like, what did you just say? What I mean, when my kids are playing with other kids, you know what I do? They're not allowed upstairs, number one, because I don't want anything going on up there. I've counseled too many people, and there's too many horrible stories. My kids don't spend the night unless I know family members and I can trust them. But they don't even spend the night at my nephew's houses because I have a girl and they are all boys. Not that I'm saying that my boys would do anything. I'm just saying, because I love my nephews, but I'm being precautious and I'm being protective. Start thinking these things through, you guys. Don't be foolish and just think, oh, it's my family, it's fine. No, I counsel those girls that got raped and molested by their uncles and their cousins in the middle of the night, okay? So listen, protect your family. Protect your family, okay? Be careful and cautious. Don't be foolish and just think because of anything you can do it. It's fine. No, protect them. You are their mom. You're the only one that can be their mom. And God has given you the job to protect, equip, to train, encourage, exhort, and to convince and rebuke. Remember what he said. Okay? I love you. And if I could get you guys to come on up. Am I missing someone? Where's Pastor Becker? He didn't come, huh? Maybe he forgot. Okay, well, these are my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love you guys. I'm going to introduce them all. Pastor Michelle is going to, are you going to host them too?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move this back so they can all see you guys. Now, men, let me just say this. We want you to give perspectives from a husband and a father. We're talking about parenting today. From a husband, from a father, and from a kid being raised in a single home, and you have now turned out to be incredible men with incredible families and incredible children, all of you. So we want your wisdom, and maybe you could give encouragement to some of the single moms in here that don't have fathers in their lives at this point for their kids, or just wisdom to any parenting situation from a man's point of view. So we'll ask you some questions, and then we'll have some questions from the audience too, okay? All right. So Pastor Michelle's going to leave.
All right. So we have about 20 minutes for the panel. So you guys don't give long girl answers anyways. But and then when you answer a question, maybe give your background a little bit, you know, because the girls don't know your background or how you were raised and everything. So first question is, being raised by a single mom, what drew you to church and God? You know, how did you end up here serving God wholeheartedly?
Well, my name is Fred Adams, and background, I was raised by a single mom. My dad was in the home until I was, oh, golly, I don't know how old you are when you're in the fifth, sixth grade?
10, 11.
So up until that point, you know, we were a unit. And then at that point, we were a unit without our father. He was always in our life, but he didn't live in the home any longer. So those teenage years were left up to mom. And the question was the influence of church. Okay, my mom was a preacher's daughter, so she was raised in church, and the entire time, the only time I ever remember my dad going to church was when I got married, and when he died. That far as I know, I mean, I don't know if my other brothers got married in church or not. I don't know if I was there or not, but he did come to church to see my wedding. So my mom was the influence the entire time, and it was a priority. I mean, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I still remember that prayer. I mean, you know, from we were little bitty guys kneeling beside our bed with mom coaching us, and then we learned to do it on our own, you know. So it was mom. Mom was the influence, and it wasn't a kind of like if you want to go. It was a part of our life. Yeah. I mean, it was just the expectation.
You know, Fred, you don't know, but we just watched a comedy video about a comedian saying, no wonder the kids are scared at night. He says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I good night, honey, sleep good.
That's funny. I'm Paul Ogando, and my wife and I lead La Roca Spanish Service. We came to the Lord actually because of the death of my father. My father died when I was probably four and a half. My sister was one and a half, if I remember correctly. And I had I have a half brother from my father's side. So through the process, an uncle of ours who's a pastor, he started coming to our home, visiting my mom and dad, praying for him, then led them through the Lord's Prayer, and then they give their hearts to the Lord. So my father died as a Christian. He never really got to go to church because he was too sick to get out of bed, but we stayed in church from that point on, pretty much. My mother, you know, she was a young Christian, so she did confuse a lot of things. We'll go to Catholic church some Sundays, and some Sundays to the Christian church, and I went to Catholic school for a year. So there was a period of my life where we were in God, but we weren't quite straight, you know, like what's the reality of what we do. But then eventually we grew into that. So in terms of being in church, that was important. Now, the difference with many of the you guys, you know, good solid moms teaching kids. My mom, because she had two kids, she pretty much worked all day. So so it was a little different for us in that term. So really, I always say I love the church, and I've given my life to the church because the church gave itself to me. And I have to say that I'm a product of a good church, a good children's ministry, good influence, you know, because my mother couldn't teach us at home as much as she wanted to from the Word of God. The church became that because we were in church all the time. And so I learned most of my relationship with God came from church itself. So if you feel like, oh, I'm not a good mom because I can't teach them to pray and I'm not teaching them the Word of God and I'm doing all these things, you do have a good church that does that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't influence them. Your word is really important in their lives, so don't take that away. But I don't want you to feel less because you're not doing that 100%. I think the church does that very well, and I'm happy that we have a church like we have in children's ministry and youth ministry like we have. I'm like Pastor Richard Michelle. I'm in church from children's ministry to youth ministry to now a pastor and all that has happened through the church.
My name is Richard Villanueva, youth pastor. I belong to that lady over there. And, my family upbringing, my parents went through probably about a period of seven to eight years, a long divorce process. And that was, you know, dad was in and out. And finally, well, he was just out. I have a good relationship with both my mom and my father, but, my mom, if there was a spiritual person in the household, it was definitely my mother. She would be the one to drag us to church, Christmas and Easter. And then, of course, that 1 6-month period of time where it went like every week. And, you know, so it would go my mom, my It would go my mom, me, my father, and my brother. And of course, my mom would be the one elbowing us, saying, "Shh, be quiet, shut up." While the father was, you know, doing his thing, me and my dad and my brother were making fun of the altar boys and poking each other with pencils and stuff like that. And that's where we were. And then, of course, I had my crazy aunt who would tell us the stories. She would read the Bible to us before she went crazy. She would read stories of the Bible, and, you know, that's where I learned about heaven and all these different things, down in our little place in downtown San Bernardino. And that was part of my early spiritual upbringing until eventually, you know, right in my junior high years, I was invited to church here at The Rock. Came to the church, and, you know, my mom, she's always had a love for God in her heart, but never really, until recently, became a firm believer in what she is, as well as a church attender. And she would be the one, who dropped me off at church and picked me up afterwards. She'd be the one and eventually it almost felt like, especially during those tumultuous times of the finality of the divorce process, there was times where I was at church more than I was at home, because church was a place of peace, is a place where I got the answers I wanted. That's kind of what I think one of the greatest things my mom did, looking back, she made sure I was in the house of God, and she supported the fact that I wanted to be at church, because that's where I desired to be. And that's kind of what really saved myself from a really dark time. My mom at one time even took me to counseling, to therapy. It didn't work, but church did. So she had made it a point that if I wanted to go to church, if I wanted to go to camp, if I wanted to be a part of this ministry or this leadership team or this here, she made sure she took me there, because it was something that she saw was changing my life. And, you know, because of that, years later, I was able to see my mom give her heart to the Lord in a real committed relationship, and eventually into my aunt and my brother and the rest of my family and things like that. My dad's coming up soon. One day he'll get saved soon. But that was the part that my mom played in my spiritual upbringing. So.
Good morning, everybody.
So the question is,
yes. Okay. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. And I'm sorry I ran in late. I just completely forgot about this morning. I grew up, I didn't have a dad. My dad died when I was 11 days old. And my mom actually thought that she was going to die at my birth. The doctors told her not to have me. And she decided, no, she's going to trust God. And she's going to have me anyway. And then, 11 days after I was born, my dad died. And so she actually prepared my three sisters' black little dresses for the funeral and everything for when she dies. But then he died. Anyway, for me, I grew up in church. My mom, that was not an option. We'd always go to church, and I was grateful to be able to have that kind of a godly influence in my life. And there were pastors that really loved God and was a very strong influence in my life. And because of that, even though I was, my mom were struggling to make ends meet. And at times I couldn't live there because there was just no money. And I would live with this one or that one. And grew up in school. I was in a hostel for many years and so on. But that didn't matter. What mattered was that God was there in my life all the time. And because of that, God really called me already to be in the ministry while I was still in high school. And I said, me, a pastor? No, I don't want to do that. I wanted to be an engineer, And then second time God called me was while I was serving in the military. And again, I said, no, that's not for me. You see, growing up in church, I saw a lot. that went on and how people would treat pastors and so on. And I said, that's not for me. But God just kept coming after me. And so the third time was while I was an engineer with IBM. And I really threw out the fleece there and said, no, I really need to make sure about this. But I did, and God made it very clear. And that's why I've been in ministry ever since.
Okay, so I hear a common sentence that you were in church, you were in church, you were in church. Now, of course, not any children in this group, but some kids don't want to go to church, you know? I mean, they get to a place where maybe they get tired of it, maybe it's the teenage rebellion. What is your advice to moms about that? Anyone want to jump in, chime in?
That's a hard one because you know, as the parent, you know the truth and you know what's right. And the child tends to think they know what's right. There's a point in time where they just know more than you, right? And you go, okay, who changed here? I was always the parent. I always was an adult. And you were a kid and you were a teenager and now you're a young adult. So who's changing here, you know? So it's real difficult with I kind of went through that with both of my girls. I have two daughters. They're older than all of you. They one's 42, and the oldest, and the youngest is 34. Right. So I tell them they're old. You know, God, you guys are old. But. They did that little thing where they kind of went in and went out, and it's like, and at that point, when they're younger, you can put the law down, especially if they're in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're living in your house, hey, it is what it is. And if, you don't like it, hit the wind, Ben, it's your home and they are your children. And they have to live under your guidelines. But at the same time, you want to be encouraging, you want to be motivating, but the biggest thing is prayer. I'm telling you, that's the biggest thing. The facts don't count when you pray. I'm serious. I think I'm going to end on that note. Because everybody's situation is different, and the word says raise up your child in the way they should go, and your child's way is different from your child's way, but God knows the way, and He will tell you the way if you pray, and then you can overcome the obstacle that's trying to pull them out. Because see, the word says that we're to raise up the child in the way they should go. And how you know their way is you're supposed to watch your child.
Right.
See, the devil does what the parent's supposed to do. He will watch the child and learn their way, and then he will put obstacles in their way to keep them from their way. Everybody with me on the way? So, if you watch your child and you pray and ask God to show you the way in which you are to raise your child. And each child has their way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do, well, I'll raise them all the same. What happened to that one? Well, that was the problem. You raised them all the same, Okay? You have to raise each one in their particular way. And it's prayer, I'm telling you. Because I went my own way. I remember my wife telling my dad, just before he died, she says, Dad, well, you really did a good job with your boys. And he says, he says, that oldest one, I don't know about him, man. He goes, she goes, you mean Fred? he says, I was worried about him. He says, I didn't think he was going to make it, he'd either be dead or in prison or whatever. I mean, I was just a hard child to raise. And other brothers are more compliant. But my mom, she was the prayer warrior. She was the one who prayed and finally got me to turn around. And it wasn't necessarily through her directly, but it was through individuals that God led me to and said, hey, what about this? What about that? And then caused me to make a decision for Christ. And it was a magnanimous, it was a powerful decision. I know when I accepted the Lord, I knew that I would always be a Christian and I would never, ever go back. I just knew it. I mean, it was just that dramatic. But it all came through prayer and my mom watching my way. You know.
Raising teenagers is what keeps you on your knees. I'll talk to you from two perspectives. Let me talk to you as a pastor. As a pastor, I need to tell you, moms, your kids will do stupid things, and don't always think it's your fault. That's a big mistake the devil wants to whisper in your ear. And then you beat yourself up all the time. It's not of God. The devil is just after you also, just the way he's after your kid. But don't always think it's your fault, okay? So please understand that. And let us help you with that if you really have problems with that here with spiritual guidance. As a dad, my kids grew up under the pews in the church. I mean, all of them. That's all they know is church life. That's all they know. And so, in a sense, they were a little different. But still, we would quickly see warning signs. And many times, the warning signs would be when they've met a new friend. And you need to, as parents, be on the alert all the time for who are they hanging with or who wants to hang with them. Because that's a huge influence in their life. And the moment you see that they're starting to hang with the wrong friends, you need to cut that off as a parent, okay? Make sure that you love them through that and make them understand that you love them more than these friends love them. And that helps. Now, even then, sometimes they'll be rebellious and they want to, you know, stand up against you. And I'll never forget, at one stage, my daughter was going through that horrible stage. And my wife sat her down one day, and she was in her face. And she told her, listen, I'm not going anywhere. I'm your mom. I'm the only mom you'll ever have. And you better just make peace with that. And I'm going to be in your face. Excuse me. I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to be there to love you and to correct you, whether you like it or not, because that's what I'm called to do. And you know, she came around and snapped out of that. And so with my boys, they were pretty sensitive guys. I didn't have to spank them too much, but, you know, the Bible says don't spare the rod, and we didn't. When they needed it, we gave it to them. And so that's just what you need to do as a parent.
you know, my little ones, Daddy, I'm hot. I don't want to go to church. Well, that's too bad. You know, and if it's an excuse, well, we don't put up with excuses, right? Because excuses, they mean nothing. You know, there's just an excuse. And if there's a legitimate concern, well, then you have, you know, if you go to this church, you have a great children's pastor. I believe you have okay youth pastors, you know, that'd be willing to talk to and listen to your concerns, whether it's about teaching matters, subjects, you know, maybe certain leaders, whatever, you know, maybe some of the kids, the other kids in the children's ministry, youth ministry, you know, then bring up legitimate concerns, because concerns can be dealt with. Excuses don't need to be put up with. And I think that's what it is. You know, I've being a youth pastor, I've heard all of them. My kid doesn't know anybody. There's too much drama. You know, I mean, I've heard all of them. And you know what? You know, yeah. And you know, You know, and oftentimes 9 out of 10, just to be real, are excuses. 9 out of 10 reasons, you know, some of these kids don't want to go to church, you know, are excuses. And at the very least, I tell parents, look, hey, you know, if your kid's in the main sanctuary, they're getting the Word of God. That's good. I don't have a problem with that. All right, whatever. You know, Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, you know, they're great preachers. You know, if they're in youth, that's great too. But you know, one thing I always tell them, because I think the number one excuse I hear as a youth pastor. Is my kid doesn't know anybody. And my number one answer is, well, that's because they don't come to youth. And you don't come to youth, you ain't gonna know nobody, okay? That's why I tell the parents. So I think it's a matter of, okay, if this is my kid giving me an excuse why they don't want to go to church? All right, well, I don't listen to excuses. Or if it's a legitimate concern, well, then let's deal with this concern and figure it out.
All right, I think we have time for one more question. So what I would like to know is, what is important for a single mom to do to help raise a boy without the influence of a father? So what would be good?
I guess, you know, like Pastor Jessica was sharing, you know, my kids are going to face things that I certainly didn't. Like, for example, I never saw physically drugs till I was an adult. Now, I never used them. But now I hear kids in school, you know, there is just present. So they've seen stuff that I didn't. So I could certainly say, even though I went to a school, my times were a lot more sheltered than today's days. So it's a very hard thing to answer from this point of view. But I guess certain things stand the same, meaning certain ways to go about it. One of the things my mom did I was always surrounded with healthy people at church, meaning from our youth pastors to the friends I developed at church. We're still great friends today. I think out of the group we came up together, maybe a couple of them are not walking with the Lord, but most of them are either Christians or good businessmen or even pastors. Two of them are. Three of them are pastors. And so that stayed in our lives, and that connection was very, very, very important. So if you're a single mom, do that. Here's one thing I appreciate my mom never doing. She never pushed any man into my life. Never did. Never went out to find somebody and just shoved it in my face. Listen, she never did. And so I'm not saying that doesn't work for someone else, but I'm looking at it from afar. I'm glad she didn't, because I respected her a lot. And I did live with my grandfather, even though he wasn't a Christian, became a Christian later in his older days before he passed away. But my grandfather was a man of discipline. I mean, and so never physically disciplined us, but he was always he was a tremendous, loved to read. So I learned that from him, loved to do certain things that really helped me a lot as a person. So I saw certain examples. I saw people that were good examples. And so many times you wanna point out to your boy what's a good thing to follow after. If you point those things out, they'll get it. I knew for our family, doesn't have to be for yours, education was a big deal. So my mom used to point out education constantly, and she got involved in that area. For example, I would tell my boy Gabriel, because he has a hard time writing, I said, son, I almost had to repeat first grade because I couldn't write. I had a hard time writing until this day. My handwriting is absolutely atrocious. Thank God for typing machines and so on and so forth, computers. But I was able to read. But my mother got involved. She spent that entire summer, and she worked with me. She would come after working two jobs, and she would sit with me and would practice calligraphy constantly. I was constantly writing. I didn't like it, but she got in the things that were big issues in my life. She got involved. She didn't pass it on to someone else to solve it. She figured out a way. So if you are in their life and you figure out a way to solve it, I think it's a great thing. Other things, maybe she felt, you know, I need to let someone else invest in my life in those areas. But for the most part, I would have to say, you know, good, healthy people in church were big influencers, and good friends, just like Dr. Becker mentioned. As soon as a friend wasn't good, it'll absolutely take you the wrong way. And I've seen that in my own life. But as soon as I kept my friends from church that we were growing together, I mean, I learned to play music in church. I mean, everything was developed from those friendships. That's what you're saying. If you're there in youth, you're going to know somebody. And believe me, I'm a very introverted person. I just became more outgoing and being in front because of what I did in church. If I wouldn't have that, I was the guy sitting in the back. I was, don't talk to me. I don't know anything. Let's move on, you know. But other than that, I was, because I was in church and I was in the drama group, not causing drama, but actually acting, those things help out. So put them, from a boy perspective, is important. There's one event I always remember, and I'll end with this, and I know I have to finish. I always remember, I was 15 years old. That was 14 and a half to about 16 where my was my rebellious year and a half or so. I didn't have a long period. I didn't do drugs, drink alcohol. It just wasn't my personality type. But I remember that's when I started realizing I didn't have a dad. Up to that point, it kind of really didn't bother me. But then I started seeing my friends having their family interactions, and I'm like, wait, I'm missing out on that. And this guy has more money than we do, and because he has a dad, it works. And so all that thing started playing in my head. And that's when my rebellion came out. And I remember, episode never forgets, I got in my mom's face. I started screaming. I don't even know what it was about. And I remember her looking at me with absolute eyes of love, didn't scream at me, didn't say anything at me. And I walked away from the situation, and I locked myself in my room, and I was so mad. But I remember that weekend, it was a weekend that God revealed himself to me as a father. And well, that wasn't supposed to happen. but I never forgot that episode, that she did not come back at me. She didn't slap me, even though she could have, because I was an absolutely idiot. And I just, that event transformed my life. That event was like, wow, she put up with that for me, and it absolutely affected my life in a long run. So I just want to encourage you that just stay there. You know, there's sometimes you don't have to fight everything. It's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to fight everything. Certain things are going to work themselves out. And I see it in my own life. My mom didn't fight for everything. Certain things, she just said, they're not worth it. And that was one event where I realized, I mean, I pushed. I wanted her to hit me. I remember. It's like I wanted her, because if she was going to hit me, my plan was I'm just going to run away. And she didn't. And because she didn't, I had no answer to my problem that I worked out, because teenagers figured everything out, you know. So so I had worked it out, and I didn't have a plan because she didn't do what I assume you should have done in that situation. And it just drew me to God. So you never know what's going to drive a person to God. But for me, was she never pushed another man in my life, and I just learned from her and learned from church and grew in those aspects. And she didn't get involved in all my drama. Sometimes parents get involved in every piece. Oh, my gosh, you're doing this, so I got to get in there. Let them do the thing, and then you get in there later and see what happens. So that could be.
I'll just keep it short. You know, let me tell you. Your influence as a mom, don't ever think the kids are not watching you. And if you're not a godly mom, you're not showing the right example. Your kids need to see that you really, really serve God. They need to hear you pray, see you read the Bible. That will never leave them in their memory. Even when they make mistakes then, they'll still have respect for you as somebody that really have a heart for God. But don't be a hypocrite with them. They pick up just like that on that. Don't do that, okay? My mom did make some mistakes. I mean, she married a guy later on. That stepdad was absolutely a devil. Why? Because I saw him with a knife to my sister's throat. So I know he was not of God. But she did leave him, and she did make it right, and she did come back to God. You know, this guy, you know, pulled her absolutely in the wrong direction in her life, and she started doing things that was foolish. But when she came back, I could see that she came back to who she really was. And you know, when you make mistakes, and all of us do, when you make mistakes, be honest with your kids and tell them, you know what, I think I made a mistake. And I don't want to ever do that again. So, you know, be real with them. especially as they get a little older, and you'll see, you'll reap amazing benefits.
I real quick here, in reference to not having a man in your life, and you know, what should you do? You know, I remember how my mom handled that. Of course, my dad always had the weekend visiting rights, you know, so we would get in a car and cruise around and go to the park and do all that stuff and, you know, try and find something to talk about, okay, with dad, because we didn't see him all the time. But here was, this was the key. I was not, I mean, I'm, and even now, I'm not into gang activities, meaning I don't like baseball, football, basketball. Okay. See, those are the gangs, you know. I'm not into that. I never was really into that, okay? But I always was into working. I always was into it. So from a little guy, my mom would help me find a job. Okay, I had my paper route. I washed the little Canali catering trucks, you know, as a first job, you know, and then I worked over at the Orange Show as a janitor and cleaning up the throw up and all that stuff, you know. I did all that forever and ever and ever while I was a kid, sixth grade, fifth grade, third grade, you know. I always worked. And out of that, I always found the male mentor. So what mom did was this. She put me in the activity that turned me on, and in the activity raised up, I mean, just happened to be the mentor that I needed for the place I was and the time I was in my life. God will guide you, and he will give you, your child, what your child needs if your child is in the right place. And it's the mom. It's the mom. My mom was the one. I mean, you know, she had Henry Harris, who owned the janitorial company. You know, Henry, my boy needs a job, you know. Well, is he any good? I don't know. Let's try him out, you know. Shoot. Man, it worked that little boy's butt all every weekend, you know, at the Orange Show. You know, everybody's, all my friends are riding the rides, you know, and I'm picking up trash, you know, and cleaning. And I did that forever and ever and ever until I, you know, went on to my uncle's body shop and worked there. And he was my mentor. So I can go through each one of my jobs and look at the male mentor that sewed into my life. And, you know, I still don't care for gang activities, you know. But man, give me something to do. Give me a job, man. Oh, my God, just turns me on. Let's work till we can't work anymore. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, guys. That was a wealth of knowledge. Seriously. Thank you guys so much. Well, let's just close in prayer and we'll go ahead and dismiss. Father, I just thank you, God, for the men who have come in and just shared such godly wisdom, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for the mothers in here, Father. They are anointed to do, Lord God, what you've called them to do, to raise their children up, Father. And we will give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Woo, that was good. Girls, don't forget you can enter your name for the second time today. And Pastor Jess. Oh, Jess found a switch. Yay. Yeah, that's more like mine.
Okay, so Pastor Richard is a but not to use. Tracy's, okay. Yeah, but wait. Put your hand out.
Yeah,
see,
it stinks.
Put your hand out. See, if you want to feel how it feels, and that's what I do is I smack myself first so if it stinks, and then I notice, okay, it doesn't leave a mark, it's good. So if CPS comes, they can't take my kids. But it stinks enough that my kids are going to remember what they did wrong. So if you guys want to, like, use an example, this is kind of... See, it's not like a stinking being like your kids, okay?